Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Yes, my friends, welcome to ET First Contact Radio. My name is Maarten Horst, and I'm bringing you the latest galactic news on this station. And I have a very special guest today. Her name is Marion Rada, and she is a Pleiadian contactee, as I understand. And she's new to the show, so we have a new story, an intriguing new story, with an intriguing new guest. So welcome to the show, Marion.
Thank you. This is a nice introduction.
Yes, thank you. Well, what can you tell the listeners about your work and how you came into the reality of ETs and channeling?
Sure. Well, I am a contact for the League of Light, which is not much heard of. It's an organization of Pleiadians and other galactics who are in service to humanity and have been for a long time. The way I came into contact with them was more that they came into contact with me at a time when I had come to the end of the road with my spiritual path, having grown up as someone who went to church every Sunday. My dad was a Bible scholar, a free thinker, And he taught me to be kind of incisive with what I read and what I accepted. So I wasn't a normal, like, churchgoer anyway. So I had outgrown my path, and I had also come into some ill health. And at the time, I had gotten into meditation and yoga and had met some people who brought me into an understanding of a really natural way of healing. And as I healed my body and I got into studying massage therapy, healing touch, other kinds of energy healing and physical healing, and therapeutic counseling, I also was working with some really amazing energy healers and metaphysical healers. And through that, I was introduced to the idea of communication with ascended masters and discarnate entities, doing soul reintegration work and sort of casting out demons and things like that, which was odd to me at the time. So through this work that I was doing, which was integrating my own aspects of soul that had been shattered through lifetimes and through the current lifetime of trauma, because we all go through that. We all have come to that pain, right? And it's in paying attention to the details, I think, that we can find a path to really getting integrated, not just in a physical way, but also to multidimensional aspects of ourself. And what happened was I was very ill at this time. Mm-hmm. This was back in about 1999, 2000. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of time to be alone and to, I had to focus on my core energy, bringing it into a place where I could believe myself into being in a reality of being healed, of being whole. And through this work that I was doing with a metaphysical healer, I started using a pendulum to read energies, to measure chakra spin, different kinds of things like that you would do with healing on an energetic of the physical body. But I also would get yes-no questions from the guidance realm, which to me was very nebulous at the time. I was just getting into the idea of what a higher self was and understanding that as you integrate different aspects of yourself and as you heal and you shed part of yourself that you no longer need, your higher self changes. And you may go offline for a while as your, to put it in computer terms, as your operating system gets upgraded and you get a new operating system. That's kind of what it felt like to me, as this higher self new support system was coming online one after another after another.
It's a whole new world that's opening up for you if you come into this kind of understandings, right?
Right. And it, to me, it was... coming from where I was from, and my father, like I said, was a scholar, and he was kind of a maverick, and he taught me not to just believe anything and not to just listen to the latest kind of spiritual teaching that was coming through. And like I said, in my youth, I spent a lot of time in church, believe it or not. So to me, I was around people. I didn't think this, but I was around a lot of people who said yoga is evil and spiritual contact, communion with spirits is evil. And so all of these things were, I had to fight against all the programming that I had. And the programming that I had is very similar to the programming a lot of people had. I didn't buy into it. I knew there was something there that it felt okay. But I did have to fight against that and fight against the idea that, you know, this is kind of crazy what I'm doing, but it's very real. There's no way I could be making this up, even though I had, my career was in writing. My whole career was in making things up.
I understand. I have encountered many people who would say the same things, who are Christians or, you know, church people. They are very afraid of opening up their spirits and their mind. And a lot of church communities teach that anything that is, they teach fear to the people so that they can keep them under control.
It's good for business.
Yeah, it's good for business.
Right. And I know if my dad was still around, he passed away many years ago, but I know if he was still around, he would really appreciate what I'm doing. I've often wished that he would be able to see what I'm doing, but
yeah, I understand. But I know, yeah,
I know that it's in line with the core of what Christianity comes from and what other religions come from, the peacefulness and the direct contact with a higher spirit and with an ability to get into communion with the source of everything without having a middleman in the way selling you something.
Yes, so. Indeed. But fortunately, many people now are waking up to the truth and are having an open mind. And also because of the internet, we can connect with people from all places in the world. Like we know them for a long time and connect with them and learn from them and read their books or listen to their radio shows or acquire information to educate us to have a wholesome idea of how life is and how life originated and that we are all eternal. So it's actually very beautiful that many light workers are now connecting via the internet so that we can all learn from each other, right?
It's wonderful. And, you know, think about when I started, I didn't know anything when I started getting these kind of communications, and the learning curve was pretty steep, pretty fast. And the only thing is there's not enough time to take in everything. So I don't read a lot of other channels. I know who people are, but I just don't have time to read and appreciate everything that's out there. I wish I did. But since we're in this matrix, we have to go with the linear thing. I had a teacher who said once that if you wanted to understand a book, you just put it under your pillow and sleep on it, and that you would get the download from it. But, you know, there are ways of getting the information. We can all develop the ability to tap into the Akashic record or to our ancestry.
Indeed.
There's a richness in that. And I'm talking galactic ancestry, because these people are ready to communicate with us interdimensionally.
Yes, I believe so. And that's why my radio show is about. So that's why it's so interesting to have you as a guest, Marian.
Oh,
so,
wonderful.
Yeah. So why don't you talk about your contact with the Pleiadians and the cosmic family, and what are they telling you about the future of mankind and the future of the galactics and the Earthlings together? So what are they teaching you?
Well, when I first, as I said, that what developed from the initial contact, which was with I had my higher self, I had different angels and ascended masters that were coming through, Mary, Kuan Yin, and then there was someone named Harold, and then there was an Egyptian. There were all these people who were coming through and teaching me what to listen to and how to be discerning. And when I got through this, it felt like I was rising through a crowd that was very cloud-like. And it's much like walking through a city, and you're walking through, you're encountering different people, you're sharing glances with people, you're overhearing conversations, somebody might be trying to lure you off your path or whatever. And that's very much what it's like when you're moving through the astral realm. And as I went through this and I honed my ability to understand who I was talking to, what was being said, always keeping my focus on, to me, through my spiritual path, Om became my center. It was the only way I felt like I was on a safe path, is if I meditated, used my mantra, and went straight to a source energy. This is very different from a church background, but it was what got me through this crowdedness of the astral. And once I got through this feeling of where I was being crowded, I felt like I was in a very open space and the communication became much clearer. And this is when the Pleiadians started speaking with me. It wasn't before that. And their first contact with me was as if they had come across someone who they hadn't seen for a really long time. I felt like people were putting their arm around my shoulder, slapping me on the back, saying, "It's been so long since we've seen you. It's so good to see you." And I had no idea what was going on. But it felt very familiar and it felt really comfortable and good. So from this started conversations. And the conversations sometimes I would, as I was learning, sometimes the conversations would be interrupted. I would feel a bit of static, as if someone was trying to break through the line and interrupt and kind of hijack the conversation. I could develop the ability to feel that. So what they did was they developed this shorthand. When they were speaking to me, they used the number 9. And I was writing everything down in notebooks, and I would write the number 9. And then they would say something. They'd give me some information about their crew, what their purpose was, what their mission was, what they were doing, always prefaced with the number 9, which I didn't understand at the time. But now my work is very much associated with that number as being a number that's it signifies divinity in something. So that was very important for me, that I had a divine connection with them rather than something that was merely technical or technological. So their mission, as they described it, was to support our transformation, and that the day of transformation was in the offing, it was coming, and that we needed to prepare for that. And I didn't understand why I was getting all of this from them. But they said that I had, a long time ago, they knew me by a different name. They knew me by this name, Jojil. And they would call me that name. And they would say, well, don't you remember this or don't you remember that? And I didn't, but I felt like I ought to. And the conversations would say that that I had come through time a long time ago and had undertaken a mission to be here now, incarnated as an earth human. But there's another aspect of me that's in with their crew somewhere else in another dimensional plane where I'm with them as we speak. And that there was a communication between that aspect of me and this aspect of me as an incarnated earth human with a multidimensional appreciation of existence. So, that's a lot right there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm listening. And it's interesting. Now, the Light Crew, where you speak about on your website, the Light Crew consists of Pleiadian renegades, Annika, Theo, and the League of Light. Mm-hmm. What kind of messages are they giving you? And what are they teaching humankind?
I was just going through my book the other day. I'm creating an index for the book that I wrote. And I came across this line, and it said to me, write this down and read it to you now. So this is basically the crux of what they're saying. Rather than saying God grants you life within the confines of a world of limitation, it would be more correct to say that God lives limited only by the confines of your mind. That we are divine humans. We are divinity embodied. And that is completely unrelated to any religion or spiritual path even. That it's so pure, and we really need to just become aware of that, accept it, respect ourselves enough to open to that, and allow that to become part of our everyday consciousness as we move through our day, as we move through our life and our relationships. So their audience is small compared to, say, the Galactic Federation or the Ashtar Command. I don't have thousands of people, I don't think, reading these works. But the message is very pointed, that we need to pay attention to what's happening, pay attention to our divinity, pay attention to the part of us inside that is aware of who we are outside of this realm, and that we are effecting a change here as we're living here. It's not that different, probably, than some of the other contactees who you interview.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very similar. I must say, I have read a couple of your messages some time ago. Mm-hmm. It does resonate with me, and it does ring me a bell to see the name Asket and Annika. I think your messages were also displayed on the Galactic Free Press.
Yes, some of them have been, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Galactic Free Press is taken over now, so it's not anymore the same website. Actually, it's very interesting to see that many news websites for Disclosure and First Contact are taken over by other people. We have a story in the Netherlands where a website was taken over by somebody else. So a lot of things are going on, but I have the feeling that Disclosure is really around the corner. It can happen any moment. I don't know what your ideas are about it.
I feel that too.
Yeah.
I do feel that too. They say that they're more present and that we will be seeing more of them. And that's certainly something that I've noticed even in the past weeks. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot more sightings and a lot more people are coming out saying, what is this that's happening?
Yeah.
People find me on Facebook and people find me on my blog. I have several blogs, and so there are lots of avenues for people to find the messages. And some of them are a little bit worried, and some of them are really excited. But what it is there's a resonance that is starting to gain amplitude, I think. There's a specific frequency that that is it goes. Are you familiar with how guitar strings will resonate in overtones?
Yes, I do. I am. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so basically that if you play one note on a guitar string, the strings that are tuned to that same kind of resonance will start to vibrate, and you'll hear that.
Automatically,
Right, and that's kind of what is going on with our DNA as what the Pleiadian Renegades call our galactic human organism. I mean, our global human organism, that we are one human organism on this planet. We don't act like that. And they don't ever really scold us for that because it's just part of our awareness. But as an organism, we're starting to resonate more and more and more with this intelligence that's that we're all part of. And that's all the divineness of us.
Yeah, well, the most important phrase on this radio station is called "We are all connected," and my friend Jeroen has built this website, this radio station, and it's an amazing job. It was a one-man job to create this radio station. And my program at T-First Contact Radio is now for the fourth year on this station. And but the slogan "We are all connected," that's really what you're saying, that we are one human entity, and we are now learning to become one and to understand that we are not separate from each other and that we are not separate from the cosmos. So,
right. And if you think about an organism having an intelligence of its own beingness,
mm-hmm.
We are self-aware beings. Each one of us is an organism. And there's an awareness that's coming into itself as a global oneness of who we are. And, I think a cell will get rid of those subcellular pieces of stuff that are impeding its life force. And that's what I think is happening that's exciting right now, is that we're coming into this vibratory state of, yes, I recognize you. Yes, I recognize your experience. We don't have to say, well, I've suffered and you don't understand my suffering. We've all suffered. We've all gained understanding. We've all had our own wisdom path. And with the idea of something vibrating, if you think of a crystal that has information, crystals hold information, and crystals have facets. Now, if you put a bunch of different crystals together and you back up and you look at it, it's going to have a shimmer of as the light hits in different angles and the different colors interplay with each other. And what the Pleiadian Renegades have said to me over and over, and what developed into the book and what developed into the website, is the idea of opalescence. And opalescence, I feel, is what they see when they look at our planet. If we are all crystalline entities with crystalline DNA that is singing out who we are, not only as individuals, but as individuals connected with each other and having a resonance with each other, and this song that we're creating with our beingness, what they're seeing from their vantage point is this planet becoming more and more opalescent, that the darkness is being shimmered into by all of these pieces of humanness that are allowing light to be refracted through their individuality, through each one of us in our own experience that we've nurtured through lifetimes and lifetimes.
Yes, I agree with you, and I can see that around me. I can see that many people are becoming more light and more loving, even people that are not really into the New Age community or galactic community. I see that, regular people around me are becoming to become more loving because of the incoming energies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's not much of a choice. It's either become more loving and more aware, or get broken apart by the oscillation of what's happening.
Yeah, the things that are happening in people's lives also is helping them to become more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Marian, what do you think about a little piece of music to enjoy? It's beautiful. It's called Lady of the Lake from Metwin Goodall.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Metwin Goodall?
No, I'm not. Okay. But I'd love to be.
Well, we'll play Lady of the Lake from Metwin Goodall. It's a very uplifting music, and I hope you will enjoy.
Oh, thank you.
And Marian and I will be back after the music, so don't go away and stay tuned on AT First Contact Radio. Here is Metwin Goodall with Lady of the Lake. Thank you. Yes, my friends, that was Medwin Goodall with Lady of the Lake. I hope you enjoyed it, Marion.
Oh, I did very much. Thank you.
Yes, very soothing, eh?
Yeah, it's otherworldly.
Yes. It's from the Mystic Trilogy 1990 albums. Medwin Goodall, he's an Englishman from Cornwall. And he woke up in 87 and he started to make beautiful music. And he still makes albums. MedwinGoodall.net for people that are interested in the music of Medwin Goodall.
That's a type of interdimensional communication right there, to be able to translate those understandings into music.
Indeed.
It's something I don't understand how.
Yeah, well,
I was a musician, but I don't understand how this happens with music, but it's wonderful.
It
and
is,
there's
yeah.
so much, the library of music is so rich with that.
It is, yeah. I've been working as a musical therapist with autistic and mentally disabled children and youngsters, and I love to do that job.
It must be very rewarding to see them respond to that.
Oh, it's so beautiful. When I improvise on the piano, you know, I sit on the left side of the piano, they sit on the right side, and they just play one tune. For example, the A or the C. And I play C minor around it, for example, and I improvise. Mm-hmm. And you see the whole vibration being lifted up. It's a very wonderful, rewarding job to do.
Wow.
But now
it does have an effect on the core.
It does, yeah. But right now I'm only focusing on Disclosure and ET Contact with my radio show. And this is for me now the most important purpose in my life, to bring out the news, to interview people like yourself, Marion, mm-hmm. that have the connection and that can share the connection with others, so that people can get enriched with this information.
I'm happy to do it. It's all I do anymore. I used to have a career path, but it's been a long time since I was on that.
Yeah. Let's talk about your website so that people can find you. It's called opalescent9.com. Maybe you can spell it for the listeners so that they can not make a mistake and find you.
Sure. It's opalescentnine.com.
Okay, so opalescent9.com. And you are also posting your writings there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of a hub, this site, and there are many spokes that come out from it. Each of the Pleiadian Renegades and Anika, Theo, each have their own collection of messages. And since they're individual people, they have an individual overall message to these transmissions that come through. So I can't just put it all into one website. There's too much. There are too many facets of it. So this started in 2008 with a blog called Opalescent Words. And that was the Pleiadian Renegades. And that went through 2008, which was an amazing time if you were aware of what was going on in the world of Disclosure.
I remember, yeah.
With the October 14th meeting. And I told this is how the Pleiadian Renegades work, is that they say, okay, so we're going to prepare you to write a book, or we're going to prepare you to have a blog. And I'm like, okay, that sounds easy. I can do a blog. Maybe it sounds fun. I had no idea that my blog was going to meet head on this whole big October 14th mass influx of ships expectation that was happening. And people were really getting upset that this never happened. Mm-hmm. And there was such a high expectation. So every time I see that, oh, there's going to be, the ships are going to show up, there's going to be something happening, I get really kind of, I back up a little bit and I say, let's try to feel this out and not get into, heightened expectations too much, because it leads to disappointment. And in 2008, there were a lot of people who were very disappointed that nothing happened, but really something did happen. And the message that the Renegades brought through back then was, you have to be ready for this. You mm-hmm. have to practice if you're going to be ready for something like that. you have to be prepared mentally and in your heart for something like that to really happen. It sounds all well and good to meet your cosmic family, but I don't know that any of us can really say that they know what that's going to be like in the actual experience. And that was their focus for that blog that was in existence for that year. And from that grew the Opalescent 9 website. And then they launched a new blog. All of this is under their direction. I don't plan any of this. They name everything. They give everything the titles and whatnot.
Yes, they do, yeah.
And they launched a new blog called Renegade Thoughts. So since 2009, Renegade Thoughts has been online. I'm still adding to that. And their message is still the same. It's they're very funny, and they're scientific. They throw in science and they throw in math, which I love. Being an Aquarius, I love that. But they're very down to earth and very funny, and they can get to the child part of us, the playful child part of us, which helps heal the broken child part that's in each of us, and in this way prepare us for integration with something that is beyond what we can expect. Because when you're a child, you may say, I can't wait till I'm a grown up. But you don't know what it's like to be a grown up. But I think what we're coming to with the meeting of our cosmic family is far more wonderful than what most children encounter when they become adults.
Yeah, well, we are adults now, and we are waiting for this moment that we can live in a galactic society.
Yes.
And I have very high expectations from it. But I understand that it has to be a gradual process, and that they cannot show up and put the ships full of the sky full of ships at once. It's going step by step, and the energies are getting higher and higher.
Exactly, and I think that was the whole message or the whole lesson of the what happened in 2008 was we learned that lesson. We've got to be ready for this.
Yeah,
and we can't be ready as individuals and just say beam me up, I'm done. We have to be ready, because if, say that happened, say you got beamed up and you're like, I'm off of this rock, I'm done, my time here is over, I can't do this anymore. A lot of people are right there at that point. How would you feel? If you're sitting on a spaceship and you're looking back at this planet and people are still fighting and dying and suffering and wars are still going on and people are being abused and manipulated and coerced, how would you feel? You know, you want to look back and say, job well done. I'm really happy I was part of this transformation. Look what we're leaving behind.
Exactly.
And 2008, that wasn't going to happen. And right now, that's not going to happen. If it happened today, we're not quite there. We're a lot closer than we were, you know, several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting there very quickly. That's what I feel.
Yeah, well, The solution will be that we could live in peace and harmony on this planet together with the ETs and build up a new future with free energy and health and clean air. And then we could be beamed up to the ships and probably go back to our home world. But first,
right,
we need to repair and restore planet Earth.
Right. Well, I think that's what we came here for, those of us who have been here as sort of undercover agents. You know,
yes.
Working for whatever organization of light, you know, that we've all been, that we feel a resonance with now. You know, lifetimes ago, we decided to do this, and that timeline is converging with where we are now again. What it feels like to me is that, like I said, when I was first communicating, I would feel like my line of communication was getting like a pirate was trying to break in and hijack the conversation. I feel like that's what happened with our timeline as humans, that some pirates got into this planet and kind of kicked off a loop of time that we were all stuck in, and that time loop is closing in on itself now. And it's interesting because time is something that's being talked about a lot lately. I think a lot of people are becoming more aware of it. So as it's rising in the collective consciousness, it's being spoken about and written about, and people are trying to figure it out. So I think a lot of the mysteries of that are going to be uncovered soon, and that we're going to have the opportunity to meet with our galactic families who were there when this all started, and they're going to say, good job, well done, you made it. We fixed this anomaly, and we can move on now, wherever that is, whether that's staying here and building a new Earth, which would be a wonderful thing. And there are a lot of people who know that that's their path. And a lot of people know that their path is to leave here and explore something else, or to go home and relax.
Yes.
Or whatever. I'm all for that.
Oh, me too. I'm so ready for it.
Right. But there are people who aren't, and those people we need to be aware of the needs that they have, and they're coming, they're there. It's not like we have to go looking for them. The people who need us are right in front of us.
Yes, because we are going to be the teachers for the new world. So because once disclosure happens and it comes into the mainstream media, so many people will have to be educated about our real history and about the real reality, how it's presented to them once it happens. And they have to adjust, they have to relearn all the things they learned and unlearn what is not true.
Right, and that's something that's going on right now in the educational system in a lot of places. It's called unlearning or unschooling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of breaking down all of that that was instilled. And really all of that was put into place to create little factory workers or little soldiers or, you know, obedient citizens. We don't need to, that's not who we came here to be. We didn't come here. We didn't incarnate. We didn't fight our way here. We didn't prove ourselves worthy to ourselves of stepping up and saying, I want to be on Earth right now to be obedient little automatons. We came here to shine out from within who we are. And so we have to pay attention to all the things that are preventing that from happening,
mm-hmm.
whether it's indoctrination into certain schools of thought or being unaware of what kind of chemical additives are in your diet, in the food that you eat. Where's it coming from? Are you in touch with it? Are you
yep.
in touch with the land that it's grown on?
Very important, yes.
Yeah, are you numbing out? What are you reading? What kind of food are you taking in with your eyes? What
mm-hmm.
kind of food are you taking in with your ears? How are you nourishing your spirit?
Yes.
And we have to pay attention to the little things, because it's the little things that can really cause problems.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm myself very aware of what I do and what I eat, what I see, what I hear. For example, when I drive in the car, I listen only uplifting music. I cannot stand to listen to a commercial radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to have my own USB stick with my with the music that I choose to listen to uplift my spirit. And then I can drive safely. I feel great, you know. I can travel long distances without becoming tired. It's really what you take in.
Right. And that's nurturing you, and that's feeding you. So that's your fuel right there
yeah.
on one level. Yeah.
So, Marian, are there any specific messages that the Pleiadians want to give to the listeners right now?
Well, paying attention and being aware is one thing. You know, I've got these new contacts after Anika came through, and then Theo came through and started talking about dimensionality. Askit and Semyaza started talking to me, and I got really nervous when that happened because I've never really looked at the Billy Meyer stuff other than to think that the photos looked a little fake. So I never really explored that. So when they started talking to me, I'm always a hard sell anyway. Somebody called Renegades wants to talk to me.
Yeah, it's interesting because Semyaza is known to many people in the world. She has
right.
She has appeared to a friend of me. And actually, I've been at the place of Billy Meyer in Smit-Ruti near Zurich in Switzerland in 2011. But it was very hard and difficult to get to him. But his story is really amazing. That I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know much about it, and I kind of am glad that I never pursued it. Life got in the way. I had a lot of things to deal with just on a you know, mundane level. Mm-hmm. So I've had to really focus myself on just what I'm doing. But Askit and Semyaza have very energized messages. And it's taking it, what the renegades have to say is still very valid, and they're still talking. So that's that needs to be paid attention to. But there's this other layer of Askit and Semyaza, and I think they were just waiting for this time, perhaps because they work with the League of Light as well, as they tell me. And they're saying, really, be aware of what's going on in the world. Be aware that people are suffering. Be aware that you can change all of this. It's possible. We can know how to proceed if we can remember who we are. And it's the remembrance that is the key. And it's not something we have to work very hard at. It's a process that happens very naturally once we let go of all the belief structures that we've held on to for so long that we don't even know we're holding on to. So that's why we have to pay attention to the details, because you can't let go of something if you don't know you're holding on to it. So you have to look at what you're holding on to and then decide that you don't need it, mm-hmm. decide that you'll be okay without it, and decide to evolve yourself, to allow this opening into a transformed person, a transformed self.
Exactly, because when we read those messages from you and other channels, and you really have to find out whether you resonate with some messages, but I only read the positive message. I always say when there's love inside it and when there's respect, for me it's okay. Mm-hmm. And then your mind gets adjusted to this new reality. So for me it's important to read channelings. Mm-hmm. To stay up to date, because it also has a news value. Because sometimes in some channelings we are learning new things, new paradigms, new ways of thought, new ways of feeling. Mm-hmm. And
yes, and something that we've been taught from eons ago is to fear those with power.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some who talk about the reptilians and the draconians and all of this with negative overtones. You can feel the fear vibration in it. You can feel the message, you better be afraid because you're not as powerful as that. And that is in stark contrast to what the League of Light represents. They say, you can love these people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you don't have to be a doormat, but in the book there's a wonderful story, and I've posted this several places, about a history when the Pleiadians and the Draconians had some interaction that some of the Draco underlings wanted to defect, but they had to be really careful about it because that's dangerous. And they became allied with the Pleiadians and uplifted themselves out of the culture of fear that they came from. And this is something that happens individually with each of us, because there's a part of ourselves that's a tyrant. It's within each of us.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Right. And we have to overcome that, not by stomping it out and not by killing the ego. Or any of those things that seem trendy to do. It's not through drastic action like that. It's through love and compassion, but not as a wishy-washy kind of a thing. Love and compassion are tough, and they're powerful. And once that happens, once that part of the self is seen face-to-face with love and acceptance and shown the power of love, that's where the transformation happens individually, and that's where the transformation happens holographically for all of us. And that's where we are now. So their message is really powerful, and it's straight from the hip. They don't fluff anything up. Actually, their messages are very coded to hit parts of your psyche that may be asleep. And I, once I write something, I have to read it several times. And it's alive, and it comes alive with each reading.
Yes.
So they're machines. These messages are machines. They're tools for opening our consciousness, I feel. And I feel so privileged to bring them through.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, because when you write an article, I do also write some things. And sometimes I channel even.
Mm-hmm.
And when I reread what I wrote, or when I re-listen the radio show that I did, I understand better what actually the meaning is of it. And
it takes, you have to get a little bit of distance to really see it.
Yes.
It's like a work of art. You have to get a little bit away from it to really see the light interplay with all of the strokes.
Like a bird's prey of, you know, a bird's point of view. Like take distance and reflect on your work. It's always good to reflect on your work. What kind of impact it has on people when you, how do you say that? When you reflect on what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My sister-in-law channels artwork.
Mm-hmm.
She does oil painting, and she allows the work to come through her in this way. And she got one Ascot, worked with her. She gave me a little painting that she had done as a Christmas gift. And I can't look at this painting without tears coming to my eyes. Because
wow.
Ascot has told me very tenderly how much she cares for me and how she remembers my friendship from another time. And it hits me. And I can't say there's a picture in this picture because it's abstract. But the energies in it that were done by Ascot through her hand
mm-hmm.
are they're profound. I'm looking at it right now.
Wow, wow, beautiful. Wow. Yeah, I have a lady, I know a lady from England that drew the picture of Salusa for my radio show.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very striking image.
Yeah, it's Salusa from Sirius. She's also a medium, and she painted it being guided by Salusa himself. So it's like, I think I know what you mean. Your sister-in-law painted this painting of Ascot. There is a description for it. It is called Media Manic Painting or something, right?
Wow. Hmm.
It's like being guided by a spirit and then make a...
That's what she does. They're all like that. And and I know that there are people who are doing some drawings, automatic drawings, automatic writings.
That's what I mean, automatic drawings.
Yeah. It's kind of like that scene. It reminds me of the scene from Close Encounters of the Third Kind,
mm-hmm.
When everyone was making the Devil's Tower.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I love that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It's time for something like that.
Yes. Yes. I think we are very close to some major breakthroughs, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about it?
I'm ready.
I'm so ready. Yeah.
I'm ready for anything, and that's one thing that working with the League of Light has taught me, because my life has gone through so many ups and downs and
oh, me too.
Since I've been with them. And yeah. I wouldn't trade a minute of it, even though it's been really difficult. I wouldn't trade a minute of it.
Well, I can tell you how much I feel close to you, Marian, that you tell roughly about your life, that it was moved and with ups and downs. My life was with ups and downs. And that made me the person I am today,
mm-hmm.
And that made me able to do this radio show. Because to speak about ETs and UFOs and disclosure is one thing, but you have to understand that it has to do with a lot of human qualities and human suffering,
mm-hmm.
Because it's such a broad subject. It's such a psychologically loaded subject that... you really need to have a broad perspective, a broad mind, a broad understanding of how people function and where they have been through before they started channeling or coming out with information about UFOs and ETs and secret technologies. It's a very broad subject and a very emotional subject. It can be, you know.
Right, and it has to. It can't just be technological. I think we really have to understand that all of these trials and tribulations and traumas that we go through during our lifetime that are shaping who we are, has all of that creates a magnetic pull where people who have something that needs that in order to come into wholeness themselves, they'll find that.
Indeed.
They'll pull to that. And there are a lot of kids who are grateful for all that you've withstood in your life so that you can bring them these vibrations that are helping them find some wholeness in theirs.
Yes, indeed. We are kind of way showers for the rest of humanity. And, and what you are doing, Marian, with your blog and your automatic writing, is, with many others, is to prepare humanity for the great shift and disclosure.
That's right. And that's what the books were for. And they said that I wrote these books, well, Opalescence I wrote, that's the big book, that I wrote that in another time, and I just basically read it back to myself here, and it came through from the title page through the table of contents and every word up to the last page, just in order. And it felt like someone was reading to me, but they said it was, so this was my job, this is what I came here for. And I remember when I was a little kid, I said, I came here to write a book, and then I forgot about it and went through life with all of its myriad ways of making you forget things that you remember when you're a kid.
That's a beautiful story. So your website is Opalescent 9, OPALESCENTNINE.com. And this is how where people can contact you and find your book as well.
Right.
Unfortunately, we have to sign off because we have finished the hour.
Okay.
So I wish everybody love and light. And Miriam, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on the show. And
thank you for reaching out to me and inviting me.
Yes, and I'm sure that we can do a show in the future together.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yes, and share some other light. So to all the listeners all over the world, and to you, Marian, I wish you love, light, peace, and prosperity.
To you too.
Au revoir.